Good evening. Good evening, everyone. It is Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, and this is the show that celebrates the ABD Guidebook by E.J. Gold. And I've been joined tonight by my guest, Jana Hart, who has helped us so many years in the whole realm of guiding us through the ABD, Angel's Healing Journey, the whole portfolio, right?
Books.
Yeah. And so now we're in this ABD guidebook, and we had a very brief discussion of book 7 last week, and now and next week we're gonna do book 8, and then the week after that the transitional book. And the question is coming up, has come up from a number of people now, is should we continue with this? Have we gone far enough with the ABD guidebook? Have we introduced it enough? Have we brought it forth enough? Is it time for us to move on to a different chapter, so to speak? So we'll be doing this for a few more weeks, but at least I'm just putting that question out there, and so we can begin to discuss it a bit. Who is on right now? There's only four. Lisa.
Paula.
From Colombia.
Yeah.
Wow. And Whitefear from India. So we have United States, we have Seattle, we have India, we have Colombia,
Canada,
Grass Valley. Anyway, so I'm just opening up the question, how are we doing with this particular material? And we had, you know, we had some other side notes that we went on to where we had Lynn here, and then we had a special show on a Sunday with Ken and Tony and Lynn, where we were trying to get a feel for what it was like in the formative days when this literature was being composed by our leader, E.J. Gold. How did you find those shows, George?
I very much enjoyed it. I remember having a conversation with Lynn Larson maybe 7 years ago in which we covered very much the same ground, but it sounds as though E.J. was going through quite a personal transformation and happened to throw off a lot of very good material. So,
And I
thought it was really helpful having Tony and
Ken
Paulson, yeah. And even, listen, Pat Elizabeth, for that matter, Lynn Larson, of course.
Yeah. So these are individuals, particularly Pat, if you think about it, for some reason she's been involved with all the aspects of the ABD for about 40 years now. And then there are people that it's natural to them to take it up, you know, and I'd have to say that it just seems second nature to you, Jana, as well. Yeah.
I'm able to read the books, and they are interesting. The sermons are what Pat seems to like in this book.
Yeah.
In the back, because they address separating the material, historical machine that we're still experiencing, but those essays called sermons really about the spirit, the stuff that you can't really see during the organic life, but you can certainly sense. And I think you could see it in some way. But it gives the spirit the go-ahead, you know, to go ahead and be present.
Mm-hmm.
It might be worthwhile. The invocations of the guides is provocative for our society. It may be that it's ahead of our time.
In this particular
yes.
methodology of invocation of those guides. You know.
Right. I was thinking if you're thinking of a transitional book for the interval of the octave as a society, we have to take into consideration who we're communicating with.
Right.
And that makes us have it be okay if we back up and say this may be a bit too far in the future for the general folks. And yet it's good that we have this book. And the sermons aren't very sermony, but they are, you know, they are admirable. And they do speak to the spirit, which is within and also everywhere.
So each one of the books, so to speak, Books of the Dead, we're calling here, seem to have two parts of it that became very evident to me over the last, as I was studying Book 7. There's the first three or four paragraphs which introduce the particular aspect of that name of God, okay? And this one was Ul Muhaimin.
Muhammad, yeah. You
want to read them? Well, what we did, so I saw it as two different parts. First, there was the part, the first three stanzas of this indicate, I am he who brings his creatures of creation to the world of existence by the use of actions, food, substances, and lifetime. And in addition, I bring control and preservation to all life. The action of my divine knowledge. So it is I who have guardianship of all creatures in existence, and he who can come to the kingdom to me knows the heart to the very darkest. You had to have passed through the darkest room. And he who concerns himself with the preservation of his creation as it was created is of my spirit. Then immediately it goes into, and it has now come to pass that you have come to the fourth day of the dissolution of this, okay, primal form. So basically what's happening is the first few kind of introduce this aspect of the name of God, and we look at Ul Muhaimin, he's the watcher, he's the witness, he's the... kind of the holder of the rule. And each of the 23 books that are depicted here have a different aspect of the names of God. And then it discusses the transitory element of the Voyager. In this case, it's the fourth day of dissolution. And we've seen through the first six chapters that that's kind of the case too. So the question is, should we go on, how to go on, and how to proceed? Because it seems like a heavy load to do each book in the exercise in the manner we've been doing it. So I'm kind of opening that up to whatever you think, any thoughts people have. You know, how to move on with this, I guess, is the question. And so, George, you were starting to say something a little bit earlier.
Well, yeah, listen, I have very much enjoyed the work. What is this, our 54th week or something like that? We've been at it a year. And
this is probably the 36th week.
Oh. 36th week, okay. So, but, you know, 9 months anyway. That's a good bit of time. This is a particularly substantial book because in many ways, it presumes, I suppose, that we already have some experience in this, and we're just verifying our experience against what the book says. But in the meantime, I have particularly appreciated following the American Book of the Dead proper with this guidebook, since it presents the same material but in a slightly different way. Jana, I absolutely agree with you. I love those sermons at the end of the book. They're just so practical at reminding us you're half spirit and you're half materiality. Can you balance those two? And then, David, just to answer your question finally, I think I like what you suggested before. Let's do book eight, and I'd like to get maybe through the transition book as a natural place to stop and then reconsider what we might do next.
Yeah. When I first started with this, and part of the reason I selected this particular book was that when we finished the ABD, which took us over 60 weeks, and we had such an effective mood in the class that I wanted to stay with something that was a voicer element, and Pat suggested this particular book. But I haven't worked with this book as extensively as I had with the ABD, so it really is a different land. And I can also, in reading it, I also have a feeling I could feel like closer to the, I don't know, the creative aspect of EJ when he was developing this. Interesting. It's very interesting. Because I want to respect the idea of the 99 names of God, of which EJ has chosen 23 to exhibit here. And on the website Wings of Chaos, I did have a separate page called the 99 Names of God. And I think I'm using something that Elka had put together a couple months ago. I put that up. And then each of the chapters on the website has an introduction to the particular phase of God, or each of the 90 of those first names. So I want to like respect that in a little way, is that the names are important.
Is there an equivalent to the six dimensions that shows the Voyagers the narrative?
Well, I don't know that. I think we've approached the six dimensions on some of the other books, on some of the earlier books. It's been discussed in terms of you'll be put into those other worlds unless you make other choices. Even in this one, it talks about that. You know, there's still the cleansing radiation of the dazzling red light, or the soft.
The softer light.
Yeah, the softer.
That seemed to offer refuge.
It seemed to offer refuge.
That's and, a specific guide, though, that you see in. And meet up with in the
soft yellow light, that's right. So each of the books, I think, Doug discusses that. So we're going to see this in book eight when we talk about Ul Aziz, and we're going to see that there's the introduction to that particular aspect of the divine, and then it's a reading of the Voyager once again. So I don't know. I don't know how to proceed with this exactly. Go ahead.
I just wanted to make a comment that last week I thought it was just an incredible penetration of that guide. And I was just, I felt very grateful.
Okay.
I really did, and I thought that that it was just fortunate that we were able to go there so deeply.
Is Laura 34 on, Dan?
Yes.
Yeah. Let me comment on what Margaret's telling us, because you weren't here last week, Jenna, and I don't think George was able to make it. Because I didn't know where to go, quite frankly, what I did, I investigated those first three paragraphs that I just read to you. And then I realized that the rest of that book was the Voyager stanza. And so I turned to Pat, and she turned to me, and then I would read a verse to her as if she was the Voyager. And then she would then read to me as the guide, and I was the Voyager. Here's what happened. After two or three rounds of that, we were in such a elevated space that the knowledge that was being depicted in these paragraphs was real. I'll give you an example of what Morvette's telling me, and then I'm going to go and says, for instance, in 5, which is the first one that was read to me, verse 5, says, now, so then imagine being read to. This is one of the things we started to introduce in the regular ABD, and we're introducing here. Now, these are the instructions for the fourth day of transit. And it may have come to pass that you have created such strong attachments to the world that you have not been able to recognize the absolute truth. So we went back and forth like that. And into it, I was like, it was like it just burst me open. I was the Voyager. And so when Pat was reading that to me, that I am someone that has attachments, I could feel my attachments, and therefore I wasn't able to recognize it. So here's an interesting thing, George, and everybody actually. Because of the heightened awareness, our ability to understand at an enhanced level was evident to us at that time. Does this make sense?
Well, and it might just very well be, David, this is what I'm gradually experiencing, is it's a reflection of the maturing of our own essential self so that we have more resonance with what we're reading or thinking about. And, yeah.
So there was an interesting, there were a couple of paragraphs that when Pat read it to me, I was frightened. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I was frightened because the knowledge, as Marvette is telling us, was so tangible, was so, I don't know, palpable. And so you get read to in that way. And Pat, of course, is a, you know, as good as it gets. And, you know, I've done some reading as well. So reading back and forth like that, we got to a place, and we had some individuals here that were able to hold the space. So partly what we're talking about here, George and everybody else, is the invocational element allows us to understand at a level that we can't do on our own unless we've done a unique form of work. And I guess that's part of what I'm wrestling with here. Does anybody have a comment on that?
Well, this comment is from a little bit earlier. Whiteseer says, Tantra states, if I can just watch everything and accept, energy transforms.
Yeah.
I have had a very interesting journey with the ABD and the guidebook. I had to run to my master after reading ABD.
Yeah, that's my point, is that, so here's the kernel of what I guess I'm trying to say, is that when you read something like, and through these things, it may have come about that you have tried to seek refuge in sin and error, and you may have sought refuge from the brilliant cleansing lights of salvation. And so it has come to pass that you have come to the fourth day of the unfolding of the apparitions of transit.
Can you say more?
Yeah, I can. And it shall come to pass on the fourth day of the unfoldment of the primal elements of consciousness, that the primal element of consciousness, which is the primal form of perception, shall appear to you in the form of the Lord of Death, who is before you now as the guide.
Lightseer says, same here. I was frightened too after reading the ABD. Everything became very chaotic.
I think part of what's happening in me is that when we have readings of that magnitude, I actually start to slightly decouple. Is that a word? I decouple from the earth. And I'm seeing my human existence then from that point of view. I really am. And there's something else that occurs, is that when we read at that level and we're in that space, it almost as if it forges a little space within my essential self, George. There's actually a new space there that wasn't there before. That makes sense?
Absolutely. And David, you know, really, again, we just get back to the human biological machine, you know, the idea that deeply buried within us is an essential self. That we're ignorant of initially because of the dominance of our physical existence. But gradually over time, with the development of that essential self, we end up reading what you're reading now here in this seventh book and realizing that, hey, there are really two of us. You know how we talk about the false I and the real I, you know.
Right.
Well, it's the same thing with this you. When we read this, let me just see if I can just say, you know, just verse 8, and so it has come to pass that you have come to the fourth day. Well, is that talking to you, the material, historical part of ourselves, or is that you talking to the essential self, our essential self, which is developed enough to recognize it? And I really think that narrow space between that you're talking about, David, is our ability to balance two diametrically opposite states, the state of the essential self, which perceives itself as white light. You know, there is no differentiation. It is the life force. And then the other part of ourselves, which has to juggle multiplicity and diversity, and we're required to be to develop the third force of being able to blend those two together impeccably. So that's, you know, that's what I think you're saying.
Yeah.
And I think before you would blend them, you would decouple and balance, see what it's like.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But they have to be together, but they're separate.
I agree.
So what I saw, I think what I'm...
I mean, until the death of the physical body, at which time then it happens again, maybe at a... in a different time frame.
Then it's... Well, that's an interesting point, because when the death of the physical body occurs, you don't have a choice point.
No, it just
you can't
is.
Go between the two. This is practicing to become an experienced voyager. We are working to do that. And when we have experiences like we had last time, Marvette, in that class, it literally created a space within me that wasn't there before. It was like a little cavern was opened up by a little hammer and chisel that in being able to hear the reading in that way, to receive that reading. And suddenly now it's there and it's not going to go away.
And was it the solar plexus area?
Yeah.
Kind of?
Yeah.
In the heart? Okay. That's where the radiation
hit.
Well, that's where they can safely go, actually, while you're even alive. I mean, you can walk with that if you're fairly healthy. I think of that, the death of the body, as you regain consciousness in the spirit, it continues as the karmic relations continue as they would, and yet you're different, and you'll notice things are different until that next entry where, yes, and then you'll know you took rebirth, or it'll be rebirth as a baby. If you signed up for that one.
Okay, here's an interesting...
I don't know if you sign up for anything.
Well, I personally think you do, but... So when it says something like that...
Say more.
Okay, like here's another one. It says, and if you fear the red light of salvation, bright and dazzling, this is 14, you will feel attracted to the soft yellow light of the world of hungry ghosts. So if you feel fear, and it will seem to you as a refuge from the cleansing fire of the bright red light. So if you stand in that, so to answer George's question a little bit, the answer is when it says, and if you still long for your possessions, so if you, it's not answered who it's speaking to, but the voyager, the reader here says, if you, then the question is, who comes out? Who hears that?
Those are good questions, as you're voyaging even, but...
Yeah. So who hears that? And in my case at that time, partly because of the skill of Pat as a reader, it was the essential self suddenly seeing this dichotomy. I am stuck. I am stuck in my attachments to this world and cannot partake of the absolute truth.
And you know, Dave, I might recall something I said when I shared on the third and the sixth book regarding the fact that our essential self is a body of habits. Okay, that's interesting. 18 primordial habits, apparently. And what we do is we use the opportunity we have with our physical body to become familiar, first of all, with our inner world, the inner world of the essential self, and then through something like the guidebook, help the essential self understand various aspects of itself as a part of the all-encompassing, you know. And so as we read just that verse 14, again, it's directed toward our essential self. this is perhaps something you need to work on if it frightens you, you know. So.
Yeah, so you can observe it's these higher and higher forms. But for me, I guess I'm trying to just, what is the observation I had? And I'm trying to dissect it. And I realize suddenly, oh, this idea of back to actually five, the second sentence says, and it may have come to pass that you have created such strong attachments to the world that you have not been able to recognize the absolute truth. Now, we can understand that intellectually. We can derive the meaning from that. We can think of that and we can say, yeah, that makes sense. Oh, yeah. Because I have ego, therefore I can't see the absolute truth. Oh, yeah, right. No, I felt that. There was a different kind of knowledge that came through. What is that kind of knowledge?
Yeah, I would refer back to the book. What is the name of the angel or the guide?
Ul-Muhaymin.
Is he trying to introduce himself to you from somewhere?
I bring control and preservation to all life through the action of my divine knowledge. And then he says, moving ahead, he who concerns himself with the preservation of creation as it was created is of my spirit. But in order to come to his spirit, he who can come to the kingdom through me knows his heart to the very darkest secret. So the very darkest secret is strong attachments to the world.
It's pretty universal in terms of the population of human beings. And so this person who's not really a human being but one of the names of God, he comes occasionally, this is my understanding, to introduce himself, to say hello, and to...
Yeah.
And to guide the dead.
Yeah.
In that form. In that specific way it's described. It's the angel of death in various names.
It says angel of death.
Yeah.
Guide of death.
I wanted to comment on that reference to the darkest part of one's heart.
Yeah.
And I think that that's something to really look at. And attachments might be a very overall word to describe it, but you know, maybe one is attached to one's fear as well. It just occurred to me because I've looked at that as the darkest part of one's heart related to one's fears.
Sure.
And that in this lifetime is the time, the only time actually, or in one's lifetime, and I say this lifetime because there's a school here, and there's not always maybe a school around one's incarnation. That's maybe not a guaranteed, but for when there is a school around one's incarnation, that's when one has the opportunity to really penetrate those fears, which we've been told can be passed on, you know, through the bardos and then into the next incarnation.
Yeah.
And so... perhaps it's really useful to continue knocking at that door. And this book might provoke that.
I have some comments. from Lara 34. It also spoke to me that we experience the space possibly that is experienced at death, hearing the energy we were in and privileged to that death space, and how we each reacted, frightened. So lucky to see and feel where we need work. And then from White Seer, yes, I started feeling the states. I sent a message to EJ that I am feeling the symptoms reading the ABD. EJ said, read it to someone else. Remove yourself as an object. And
yeah. I guess when I get into that level of space and I read the thing about the fear, I don't feel like I'm ready. I mean, I think I'm really kind of a coward, and that when I get hit with that dazzling red light of transformation and salvation, that I'm going to go into fear. And if the soft yellow light is there, part of me thinks I'm just going to run to it. I don't know that I trust myself at this point to be the one to survive the ambushes of transit.
The guides seem to have a personality.
Mm.
At the beginning, as they're introducing
yes.
themselves to the Voyager, but they make it clear that they come from elsewhere and that you're clinging to somewhere, and they intend to help you go into the red light to experience whatever that light can do to decouple you from, it could stay conscious from whatever it was that is you're clinging to. And does that make any sense? I'm not sure. That these guys seem helpful but inexorable. These are the ones
that's my point.
And the reverberations outward may increase the fear, or it may be just, hello, it's good to see you again. And
well, I went to.
And here we are, somewhere in the Bardos. And can any of you can say which page it's on and show it to him and read it back?
Have you ever?
I would think.
Have you ever gone to Bikram Yoga?
No.
Bikram, you know what it is?
I've heard of it, but
Bikram
I'm not
yoga.
Sure.
It's a space to do yoga exercises. That the room is really hot.
They make it warm.
Very hot.
Yeah.
And I like that. I really enjoy it. But I'm one of the least flexible people I know. And there were certain exercises they would do, and I was convinced I was at the edge of my ability to do it. And then the instructor would say, no. Now go down further.
They always,
I know.
They trust that you could do it. The space says.
So I think that's what happens to these guys. I mean, this guy comes along, this Ul Muhaimin, and he goes, hey, guess what? Here's the red dazzling light of cleansing radiation. Dude, you can do it.
I would think maybe you could practice by turning on those bright lights that are
the stage
on
lights.
And then at least you could go, okay, is that what's red for you? Because there's a rapport that's possible. He's introduced himself in the nicest way and then explained it. It was a
I think that part of this is we have to get ourselves to a different level of understanding. By that I mean experiential. This is no longer theoretical. Nothing we're doing here is theoretical any longer. And that's why I hesitate. I part of me wants to stay with this because of that, because of the need to forge more space within me in regards to this kind of knowledge.
Would you mind reading more? The
no.
Path of Voyager?
That makes sense, Stan?
Read it.
Yeah.
Sure. After the guide introduces himself.
The guide introduces himself, then we've gone through some of that.
And then is there any information as to
yeah.
how to understand these bright lights?
Yeah. And 16, and he, now interesting, it goes, he's no longer saying, and you.
Okay, he's moved to the third person.
Now it goes, that's right.
Okay.
And he that allows the brilliant red light to wash away possessiveness and desire for things of the world, he shall enter the kingdom forever and ever. And the brilliant red light is the grace of the Lord who has brought you through the dangers of the first 3 days of apparitions. And it is his salvation that you are invited to accept. And he that takes his refuge in this light, he shall be saved in grace. That's the instruction.
And so the Voyager enters the red light under the encouragement of the guide.
Mm-hmm.
And the cleansing of the red light does something good. Or just helps it.
Well, it
helps separate
it
from
says,
the possession.
It washes away possessiveness and desire.
It's different than water. It's not an element per se. It's just red light. It's part of the electron.
It's cleansing radiation.
Yeah.
So what does that mean? That's a good
point.
That's
what I mean.
So what does it actually mean? It actually means this. It's the brilliant, dazzling red light is a realignment of the electrical body to the subjective level of divine knowledge. Because I don't know theoretically how this part works, George, but it's like the essential self gets cleansed of its attachment. And I don't want to be cleansed of that. I'm too afraid. But then when this occurs, like, can I stand in this decoupled divine self? Which is my birthright. Then I am saved in the grace of the Lord. That's what it says. But it's like training for the Olympic team.
I would imagine you're going to meet a few hungry ghosts along the way in that situation, or you'll be with that guide, and it's pretty overwhelming at that point. He points towards red light, bright red light. If you have an okayness with that, you go in there.
That's my point, is that I think that we can begin to train ourselves
to be brave,
ever so lightly, to be braver and braver and more brave. Go ahead, George.
You know, there's another aspect that occurs to me. I think it was in HBM, EJ mentioned that our physical body has absolutely no interest in transformation of any kind. In fact, transformation for our physical body is experienced by the physical body as a form of death because it's being deprived of the sensuality available to the senses through the physicality of the body. And so as our essential self begins to develop, this kind of a conflict sets in between a growing essential self that is bathing itself in the radiations of the clear light and gradually separating itself from its identification with the materiality of the body. And so the body itself has to be persuaded to yield gracefully to death so that the essential self might triumph and be exposed to these radiations in order to purify itself from its, you know, enmeshment in materiality. So
and so I think that how you practice, and this is a very interesting point that I know Marvette will get, is that we have to be able to be more and more pliable. What do I want to say? It's like able to absorb more and more radiations. We have to, can we absorb more? So part of the practice is a form of active surrender. So when the red, dazzling red light comes along, is rather than fight it, which I want to do with fear, and then I got a way out, right? The yellow light. The soft yellow light. But can I allow the dazzling red and cleansing radiation, can I allow it in? And maybe that's what George is telling us, is that can we allow that to occur?
In the ABD, the Red Book, the radiations are allowed to pass through along with the feelings of fear, not leading to actions that you might regret based on panic. Therefore, you welcome the light as your friends, and you say to this character, and you say, well, thank you, gosh, you know. And if you practice, I wouldn't think that lights per se would be frightening, although at death I'm sure that because they're coming and they will pass through. If you absorb them, that's great. They pop out of your aura, I would think. But mainly, you let them in, they let them pass through.
So
and that way, other people can benefit too. And
but that's a skill we can learn. And I think that I'll go restudy Chapter 2 of Practical Work on Self, the pond exercise, and the parting of the Red Sea comment that's in there.
And the feeling of hospitality. God has made himself vulnerable by naming.
So whatever is there before us, can I open to that? Go ahead.
And Mara 34 says, through love.
Okay, so a bridge could be the sense of divine love that I might be able to recognize in this guide that's coming through saying, hey, buddy, I can help you out here a little bit. I'm going to give you this dazzling red light, okay? Now, if you know me, you'll know that I'm helping you.
And the practice of hospitality. Even to red lights, even to bright lights, it's the theater. It's the shock is that the inner theater and the outer theater pretty much match. And yet, those lights are unique to
they're totally
to God.
Unique, but this is the A game also.
The A game, okay.
This is the A game. This is it. So we can practice for the Voyager, the passing of the body. We can practice now. This is what we're discovering. But you have to feel this darkest place in your heart too. For me, it has to do with attachment to possessiveness and desire.
It's confusing in the sense that the red light is associated with those things, the red light district.
In human life, yeah.
Yes. It may also have something to do with infrared.
Mm-hmm.
But that's only in the soul, in the solar.
But we're a body. We're a body, and part of what's going to happen is that can I allow myself to be hit by that now? And I'll only do it if there's a higher good involved. Because it's scary for the machine, but if I know that this is truly a higher good, then I can surrender.
The heart chakra.
The heart, for me, it's that. The heart chakra.
That is where it hits you.
I can allow myself to be penetrated by the dazzling red light. So this is practice. We're practicing allowing ourselves to be penetrated by these cleansing radiations.
Two thoughts. This book with these scriptures is it's kind of a different mood than the ABD, and in that there is to me it's like there's an invitation extended to the Voyager, but you're also it also portrays something that's very existential, but it's also delivering an invitation to you. And that's what it seems like. Each chapter is like this portrayal of an existential entity.
Yeah.
And yet there is an invitation to be there and experience that cleansing. Now that, of course, is very. I mean, the ABD indicates, which before. Actually exposure to the ABD, I didn't quite have the perception that one's lifetime persisted so strongly after the death of the body. That was a very new idea. And I think that idea has a lot of fear attached to it with numerous people, not just me.
Yeah.
I just didn't think it was that hard to give it up. But it seems like it's indicated that it really is quite a challenge. So the thought occurred to me that we've also been given the idea that you can make bargains with the machine, because you're walking around in a machine right now. And perhaps making a bargain with the machine, also the idea of the POG. You're, this whole group is one pod, and so
right.
Maybe that bargain is, well, we can give ourselves a time limit. Maybe we instead of leaving it so loose in terms of covering this material, that we give ourselves a time limit of 1 week per chapter. Or maybe if it's exceptional, that the penetration is exceptional, we allow for 2 weeks. But in that time limit, the machine might be more able to accede to, okay, I'm on the team. The POG is going to be supportive, and that's possible.
Yeah, the richness of this material is such that part of me thinks that we owe it to ourselves to do it, but I can't see us doing 3 weeks per book either. That's going to take too long in a certain way. And maybe you're right. Maybe it has to do with a particular form of bargain, as you say, with the machine. This is a form of practical ways and means to work with the fact that we're in the earth, we're in the world, but not of it. And we tell that to the machine, and we say it very gently. Hey, thanks, guy, but for a minute, we're going to go do this.
I think that's what works best.
Okay.
And that can even be enjoyable, because as children, like, you go to the skating rink, you begin to notice which lights are dull and which lights are bright. And it starts the process right then and there. And then if the guide, these guides seem a little more mysterious than serious, but they come along as saying, don't be afraid, I'll step in with you, basically, or
right.
Provide it. And it's true, if there are certain colors you don't care for, maybe they'll say, I'll send you on to this other person that specializes in another kind of radiation.
I wonder if what you're implying is that these are guides that are there. If we get into those postures,
yeah.
do we have the way, the skill set to ask for help?
It seems like the invitation is that they're there, and they've gone to the trouble to say, you know, this is who I am, these are all my the great powers that they speak about in the first person, and they say, you, and you go, ah. And I don't know if the fact that there is a radiant body of light can differentiate the heavier body of matter, which responds to gravity, and perhaps there would be light around that too. I don't know. But there are definitely, and the fact that they switch off, like in, because there's also the brilliant yellow light, and that I would think would be one where at death you would be able to see those lights in clarity, because I would think they were part of the clear light, just another character stepping out, because the clear light, and to gently break it to you that you don't really need to clean. But as you can see, I've become identified with my machine.
Yeah.
And the idea of happiness for others and a nice experience each day with the body as a team member, as somebody to say, as a matter of fact, while you're interfacing with gravity, which is, and the planetary body, you know, the machine stands up tall. And then when these other angelic characters come and step out of the light or what have you, then, yeah, there's sort of, it's always, always new and awestruck feelings, I would think. But you just have to wonder. It leaves you with a sense of wonder. I don't think that from where we sit in the machine, it can be made cogent and clear in any other way than just the way it was inspired to be written down. We can certainly talk about it because everybody has a unique experience as an individual.
Right.
As these things begin to fall apart and merge into the general field of electromagnetic and also non-electromagnetic, maybe even something interesting. But
I guess what I'm saying is that if we actually work with this material in a tangible way, that you can begin to feel, yes, I am attached.
As nature intends.
Nature intended me to be in this human biological machine, and I learned how to do it really well, and now I realize, but can I... It was like a tangible knowledge about how attached I was when we were reading through this, which was really good.
And as each time you pass through the death point, you meet some folks that are specialists in these light sounds and radiations, which means it's coming.
Specialists.
Yeah, well, they seem to be specialists. I like Clearly. The fact that they... introduce themselves, and they are superheroes, each one.
El Muhammin is, this is his particular superpower, right?
It's like, yeah, Superman, too. He wears a red shirt, but I would think these lights are clear.
Yeah.
As, like, precious stones would be sort of see-through.
Yeah.
And they're saying...
So you say to this guy, well, what's your superpower? Oh, I'm the dazzling red light guy.
I know, it basically says...
I'm the dazzling red light, the cleansing radiation that helps you break possessiveness and desire. Want a little?
Oh, that would be funny, you pull out some pieces of light, and, you know, it would be, it's magic in that sense. But then you could become attached to that, too. So I still think that it passes through, and you get to visit everybody before energy settles you down into another biological form, depending on or you could be completely go into the red light, never to be seen again. And leave another mystery.
Mike Shear says, Lara, have witnessed that I was unable to love after reading the ABD. Wasn't being able to accept, but over time, with acceptance, am able to love again, and it's a higher love. It's a humbling experience.
It is. And I think we have to really reconsider what we mean by love. And the concept that we have of romantic love and things like that, we have stuff entrenched in us about what it is, what it should be, and then we discover different elements of it, and you're compelled to love in a certain way when you're in a position like this. Because if you can get yourself in a position where you're able to absorb some of this, the dazzling, the cleansing radiation of the dazzling red light.
Becomes your friend.
If it becomes your friend, then you have the prayer. And alas, when wandering in the world of matter, because of the power of intense attachment to material things, on the radiant path of life, may I be led by the guide of the primal form of perception. And may the divine and holy mother be my protector. And may I be led safely through the shocking ambushes of the transit world. And may I be placed in the state of pure, luminous void, the absolute truth. And he who prays in all sincerity and humility, he shall be one with the divine spirit, and he shall attain bliss and eternal happiness in the voidness of the endless void.
That would be a liberation point.
That's a liberation point.
And
anyway, I think I found some new legs for how to approach some of this stuff tonight, and I thank everybody that was here. So we'll take a look at it again next week, I guess, huh?
Oh, my goodness, yes. How the time goes.
Go ahead.
Well, Lara 34 says, one thing I try to do is when I feel the intensity of the radiation, that is when I turn it as best I can into love.
Good.
And I say quite often, where are the bright lights when I walk in a space and go to those lights as best I can?
Good.
Love the radiations. Look forward to them.
And I want to encourage everybody that has the ability to work with another, that you actually do either readings together, you read one to another. That can be over, if you can do it on Skype, by phone. Give it a shot, because allow yourself to be read to. This is part of the process of allowing ourselves to open up and surrendering to the cleansing radiations that are offered to us. And they are offered to us, aren't they?
They are offered to us.
That's the invitation.
Yeah.
So thank you, everybody, for coming tonight and trying and giving another shot at it. We'll see you next week at Wednesday night at 7, huh?
Wednesday night at 7. Well, if it comes around again, Wednesday, we'll see what happens.
Thanks, Dave and Jana, for being there for us.
Thank you, George, for
and
helping.
And Marvette and Lost Horizon.
For holding the burden with us, too. And I want to especially thank Jana and her brightness for being here tonight. So we'll look forward to seeing you next week.
Hey.
Good night.
Thank you.